Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. My name is Joker, and today we're going to be talking about hypergamy and mate selection and ultimately why I feel because of society, because of big daddy government, because of society pushing for having multiple partners or women having multiple guys. That, and I've done videos on this where poly is supposedly the new normal and why women want to date one guy and marry another, and we'll get into all that today. This is going to be a longer episode, but this is a really important topic that I want to talk about the science and the biology and then give some real-world examples, very minor real-world examples, because a lot of my videos are actually real-world examples of this in action. And that way you kind of have a reference video of when people ask you, hey, maybe why you're not dating or why you don't think long-term relationships don't exist or why you're never going to kind of go down that path. This is a really good, I think this will be a really good indicator or a way that you can show, hey, this is how I feel about stuff. So this is Vivica Fox on the thumbnail here, and I have a story about her shortly, but I'm first going to read a couple of studies, some Wikipedia pages about hypergamy and about mate selection and why ultimately the way things are lined up today in society, it's a losing prospect for men, period. No matter if you're high value, low value, middle value. Before we get started into that, let me mention, what you see here is what I learned of my thumbnail, what I learned about dating on a sugar website. I want to mention this because this is a video that I've done over on my betterbachelor.locals.com channel. My more spicy or more the videos that YouTube probably wouldn't like, I'm going to do over there. So if you're a supporting member over there, and you will get access to my videos like this, because I want to try to grow my channel over there, and these are still things I want to talk about, but I can't do them here on YouTube because they give me the old sad face mark, yellow face mark of doom. So instead, I'm going to put them over there. The reason why the photos are blurred is because they're not blurred over there, but they are blurred here because these are actually real women that I went out on dates with and had experiences with and talked to while I was on this website. And it was kind of interesting. It changed my mind on these type of websites a little bit. So if you'd like to check out that video, join me as a subscriber over on betterbachelor.locals.com. So I don't really have any losses for today, but what I want to talk about is going to be about mate selection. So the first thing we have here is when she says, I know what I want and I'm not settling for less than I deserve. She says she wants a man who is 6 foot or 6 foot plus, like my ex, Chad. And I'm just reading off the thumbnail here. 8 inches or plus, like my ex Tyrone. 6 figures, like my ex Rich. Hair and eyes, like my ex Fabio. Sweet and kind to my kind to me, like my guy friend Billy. But also a bad boy, like my harmful ex Chris. Accepts me as I am and loves my kids as his own. And this is part of what's happening now in society. We live in the throwaway relationship of society, which is women will date for 1 or 2 or 3 months, as will the very popular guys. And what they do is the guys are there to have their fun. And I'm going to talk about the science behind that in this video. And the women are there to either A, get the good DNA. If she wants a kid, she's going to have it with the most attractive, most successful man that she can have. And there is science behind that. But the problem is when she's out there with all these guys, the guy that she wants to have forever is the best in all categories. So he needs to be tall like this guy was, and he needs to be well hung like this guy was, and he needs to have good income like this guy was, and he needs to have good hair and eye or genetics like this guy does. And she wants that all in her forever man. But that doesn't really exist. And if they do exist, she's not going to be the one that captures that guy because he has all the choices in the world. We talk about that a lot, referenced as the 80-20 rule or the 90-10 rule or the 95% rule now. But this is why women today being promiscuous and going out and having so many partners is she over time will decide, hey, I've had all these guys with these great qualities, but the guy I want forever needs to have all these qualities. And that man just doesn't literally exist. And so that's why many women are growing up and feeling like they can't find the guy that satisfies all their needs. So what they're doing today is they're wanting to go out and have their fun and sleep with the bad boys and the good looking guys and the tall and the this, that. Then when it's time to settle down, since they can't find him, they go to the guy that's going to be a provider and may either give them kids and then provide for them, or may take care of her and the kids that she already has with another partner. The problem with this is, number one, it's a loss for any guy that gets involved in these type of relationships. And number two, after she's with the quote provider for any extended period of time, the governments today and divorce laws and other things like that have decided that if she changes her mind and wants to leave, not only does she get to go back out and have her fun again with any potential suitor, but she gets to take the resources from the guy she was once married to. Now, this made sense when men were not held accountable at all and would get a woman pregnant and then bounce, and then she would have to be a ward of the state or have to get the government dime. And he didn't have any punishment. Well, they flipped it the opposite way, and now men have all the punishment, and she still gets help from the government, and so there is no punishment for a woman that decides to leave and leave her good partner. And so he's the one that pays. And because of this, this is a big reason why many men are out of the dating market. This I found funny, and I'll just talk on this quickly. Richard Cooper over at Entrepreneurs and Cars on his Twitter account posted this a couple days ago. He says, next on Better Bachelor, the two richest men on earth couldn't keep their wives happy. What hope do you have? And yes, this is true. And too rich, unfortunately, he spelled bachelor wrong with a T. So rich, no T in bachelor, my friend. I like Rich. He kind of talks a lot about the same things I do. But his ultimate goal is how to become a high value man, a high quality man for attracting women and to be successful. Mine is, just don't worry about the attracting women. That will happen naturally if you're a successful, good catch. Just worry about doing it for yourself. Other than that, I think we kind of espouse the same information. But when you talk about hypergamy, women often will go after the high quality man or the ones that are a step up or raising their standards some. But in this case, you'd say, well, why would women leave two of the richest men on earth if hypergamy is a thing? Well, because, again, the way the laws are set up, they can leave and they get to take much of these men's resources with them, so they no longer have any wants or needs in life. You know, a woman will be with a guy that has a lot of resources because then she has a very pampered, easy life. She can take care of her children. The children get the best education. They get the best clothes. They get the best everything in life. So the reason why a woman would leave a guy that is a billionaire is because, well, now she most likely is a billionaire. She gets to take a lot of his resources with her. So now she's single and she gets to live her life in any way she chooses. And she can go out and be with other men if she chooses. And she gets the resources from the once very successful husband that she once had. So there's no punishment for them to leave. It's still hypergamy. It's just now she can leave and take the resources with him. I want to give you a background of the actual biology and the science under hypergamy and mate selection. And this is something to keep in the back of your mind. So when people say, oh, you're just a butthurt man, or oh, you're just scared, or who hurt you, or any of the traditional things we hear, you can actually tout the science and you can point back to there is science behind this stuff. So from Wikipedia, this is about hypergamy. And they say hypergamy, colloquially referred to as marrying up, is a term used in social science for the act of or practice of a person marrying a spouse of higher caste or social status than themselves. Now, the key in there is social status as well. It's not just about money. It's about bringing her to a level of either he's successful, he's rich, or he's very popular, he's very powerful man. All those things count as hypergamy. The antonym hypogamy refers to the inverse, marrying a person of lower social class or status, colloquially marrying down. Both terms were coined in the Indian subcontinent in the 19th century while translating classical Hindu law books, which used the Sanskrit terms anuloma and pratiloma, respectively, for the two concepts. The term hypergamy is used to describe the overall practice of women marrying up, since the men would be marrying down. And this is where we talk about a lot of times guys will not necessarily marry down, but they will date down, especially if it's short-term dating. And I have some information on that, which is important. I'm going to skip down here to where they cover the rest of the world. They say a study done by the University of Missouri in 2003 found that females generally prefer dominant males as mates. Research conducted throughout the world strongly supports the position that women prefer marriage with partners who are culturally successful or have high potential to become culturally successful. The most extensive of these studies included 10,000 people in 37 cultures across 6 continents and 5 islands. Women rated good financial prospect higher than did men in all cultures. In 29 samples, the ambition and industriousness of prospective males were most important for women than men. Meta-analysis of research published from 1965 to 1986 revealed the same-sex difference, Feingold 1992. Across studies, 3 out of 4 women rated socioeconomic status as more important and a prospective marriage partner than did the average man. Women are more selective in their choice for marriage partners than are men, and they give the studies there. They go into mating preferences here, but I'm going to read from a different article about mate choice. I'm just going to read this small section here so you kind of get an overview. But here's basically what's happening. Normally, women would say, I want a man that is better than I am, either in his social class or his financial class. But now with modern, and they also talk about, see if I can pull the words, ambition and industriousness. So what's happening now is that women are not finding that or to their same levels in the same partner. Traditionally, if a woman, but this is before the advent of the pill and birth control, traditionally, if a woman would want to be with a guy, she would want to choose the mate that is the best looking, has the best genetic genes, but also that with a combination of the man that will be able to best provide for her and the family. And so that's where kind of the, when you hear about watching sitcoms or old movies, when a man would say, oh, I'm a doctor, a woman's ears would perk up. She'd say, oh, he's a doctor. Because not only is doctor intelligent, but he also has a certain class of people that he hangs out with, and he had a certain income. But you combine that with good looking and tall and handsome, well, that's the guy everybody wants. Well, women are not able to capture that, or the average woman certainly can't capture an above average man like that. So what they're doing today, because of the advent of the pill and other birth control and conception, contraception, what they're doing is they're going out and they're having their fun and they're dating those guys and they're sleeping with those guys. And they may date many of them because they know the odds of them having a kid are very low because of contraception. But also, these guys are good looking and they're attractive and it turns on a woman. And so that's the guy she wants to be with. She's not worried about the long-term ramifications of that because this isn't going to be the guy that she marries. Would she like to marry him? Perhaps if he makes a good income. But if he's just the pool boy, well, that doesn't matter. She still wants to be with him physically. And later on, as she gets to the childbearing, the last years of childbearing or child rearing, or if she has a kid with one of these good-looking men, she's gotten his DNA, so she's already happy about that. Then it's time for her to settle down and have a serious relationship. And what she's looking for then is a guy that's going to be a provider. Now, would she like it to be also a very successful, good-looking, tall man? Sure. But if she's not able to find that, she will settle for a guy that can financially take care of her. Why? A couple reasons. Number one, she knows that'll be best for her and the kids. It'll give her a life of leisure. Number two, because of the laws today, she can leave that financial arrangement with that man, and now she's single again. But she has the additional income coming in from the government and from the man that she married. And so she now has the best of all worlds. She was able to get the DNA of the good looking guy, or in many cases, even if she's married to the good financial man, they go out and cheat and end up getting pregnant by the good looking tall gym rat or whoever they were into. And so she gets the good DNA. And she gets the good fun with the good-looking guys. Then she gets with a beta provider or a man that's just financially secure. She spends some time there. She rears the kids. She gets them up into their a little bit older age where she can now either work or she can go back out dating because they're not infants and maybe they can look after themselves. And then she's back out on the market as a single woman, going out to be with the good-looking guys again. But now she has the resources of the guy that she spent a little time with. Well, the way this is wired, many guys are like, well, if you're successful and you're good looking, and you're doing well, you can still find a woman. And that's true. But it doesn't mean that the woman is going to stay with you. She may very well bounce afterwards and take a lot of your resources with you. And we see this in the courts. And I'm going to talk about that again when we get to the real life examples. So they say here, the rest of the world, let me get down to mating preferences. Studies of mate selection in dozens of countries around the world have found men and women report prioritizing different traits when it comes to choosing a mate, with men tending to prefer women who are young and attractive, and women tending to prefer men who are rich, well-educated, ambitious, and attractive. So they both are looking for attractive, but women went on top of that, rich, well-educated, and ambitious. Again, it's much harder for men to find an equal of a woman because all men are looking for is an attractive woman. Women want attractive, but everything else that comes with it. They say evolutionary psychologists contend that this is inherent sex difference arising out of selection, with men driven to seek women who will give birth to healthy babies and women driven to seek men who will be able to provide the necessary resources for the family's survival. They argue that as societies shift towards becoming more gender equal, women's mate selection preferences shift as well. Some research supports the theory, including a 2012 analysis of a survey of 8,953 people in 37 countries, which found that the more equal a country, the likelier male and female respondents were to report seeking the same qualities as each other rather than different ones. Here's the problem with that. That is a survey, not a study. Of course, women and men, usually, when asked, are going to say, no, I would like somebody that is my age and my status in life and things like that. Women usually are not going to report, yes, I would like to find a man that is more successful and has more money and will shower me with gifts and take care of me. And men are much less likely to report, well, I kind of would really just like a hot young wife versus somebody that's intelligent. Why? Because they're shamed for saying that. But if you look at the actions of people today, that's the truth. So let me jump over here to mate selection. Mate choice from Wikipedia. Now, this gets into the biology of it, but we're going to talk about specifically the human portion of this. Let me jump down through this first part here because it's not relevant, although the links are down below. So here we go. Female mate choice. Okay. Well, let me start at mate choice in humans. In humans, males and females differ in their strategies to acquire mates and focus on certain qualities. There are two main categories of strategies that both sexes utilize, short-term and long-term. Human mate choice depends on a variety of factors such as ecology, demography, access to resources, rank, social standing, genes, and parasite stress. While there are a few common mating systems seen among humans, the amount of variation in mating strategies is relatively large. This is due to how humans evolved in diverse niches that were geographically and ecologically expansive. This diversity, as well as cultural practices and human consciousness, have all led to a large amount of variation in mating systems. Below are some of the overreaching trends of female mate choice. And what they're talking about here is they're going to be talking about the differences between geography, financial stresses, religion, and various things like that that make the choices, which is why if you're looking, as an example, if you're looking for someone that is much more conservative or traditional, places like Poland might be a good place to start over in Europe because they're still very traditional and they hold on to Catholicism and Christianity much stronger than the surrounding areas do. If you wanted something that was much less, I think it was Belgium, and you'll have to fact check me on this, that where partners, women have an average of three husbands throughout their lives. So some areas it's much more traditional and some it is not, even though geographically they're not far apart. All right, female mate choice. Although in humans, both males and females are selective in terms of who they decide to mate with, as seen in nature, females exhibit even more mate choice selection than males. However, relative to most other animals, female and male mating strategies are found to be more similar to one another than they are different. According to Bateman's principle of lifespan reproductive success, human females display the least variance of the two sexes in their lifespan reproductive success due to their high obligatory parental investment, that is 9 months gestational period as well as lactation following birth, in order to feed offspring so their brain can grow to the required size. All right, so to boil that down, what they're saying is, and again, we're going back in time here a little bit before the advent of birth control, it would be women would look for a partner that would be long-term, that would have parental investment, and that would help take care of them and their young so that the woman could focus on the child without having to worry about gathering food, without having to defend herself against predators. She would look for the man that would be able to cover all of those things, not only in defense, but in also financial or resources, things like that. Human female sexual selection can be examined by looking at ways in which males and females are dimorphic, especially in traits that serve little other evolutionary purpose. For example, male traits such as the presence of beards, overall lower voice pitch, and average greater height are thought to be selective traits as they confer benefits to either the woman selecting for them or to the offspring. Experimentally, women have reported a preference for men with beards and lower voices. They didn't boil down into this, but we also know that women, from other studies, women like taller men, and they also like wide shoulders to a narrower hip or the inverted triangle. That shows that a male is healthy because he's got a slim waist or six-pack, but he's strong because he's also got wider shoulders. So the inverted triangle is another selector for women in the physical world. They say female mate choice hinges on many different coinciding male traits, and the trade-off between many of these traits must be assessed. The ultimate traits most salient to female human mate's choice, however, are parental investment, resource provisioning, and the provision of good genes to offspring. Okay, so they want parental investment. That's going to be a guy that sticks around and helps them raise the kid. That would be a provider role. Resource provision. That would be a provider role, and the provision of good genes to offspring. That would be the tall, the strong, the deep voice, maybe beard, the more physical selections of the women. The way society is kind of structured today, women can get the best of both worlds from different types of men. They will date and often fool men that are attractive and tall and good looking, and they don't even have to be successful, but they want the good quality genes from these men. So they will sleep with them. Sometimes they will lie about being on birth control and things like that. And they will trap the guy because she now has Chad's kid. And we say Chad just because that's the, you know, the tall, strong chinned, good looking guy. So she will have his kid and she will be pregnant with him. Now, what happens afterwards? She will have one or two kids from one or two different fathers that were attractive or good-looking or any of the things but necessarily successful. And then she says, okay, the government will help provide for me, so I don't need that man to provide for me. Although, she may still get some of his resources if she can get child support. What does she look for next? Next, she looks for the provider role. And so she will come forward and use her sexuality or her looks or something else to try to get a provider type guy to settle down with her, cohabitate with her, or marry with her so she can then get his resources. So she's getting the best of both worlds. Not only in the end is she getting the guy that she wanted and the resources of the man that she was with, but also she still has help from the government. As long as the government and divorce courts are saying, yes, here's the resources of any man that you've married or paired with, cohabitated with, you get that, as well as income from the previous father, she gets to reap all the rewards. There is no punishment for acting out in the way that she is. And that's the way society has structured this. If you want to be the popular good-looking guy, you go out there, you get to sleep with lots of women and have lots of partners. They want to trap him, but if he's smart, he doesn't get trapped. He doesn't fall in love. He doesn't marry. And that leaves her, as she ages, to look for a provider. They continue on. The relative importance of these traits when considering mate selections differ depending on the type of mating arrangement females engage in. Human women typically employ long-term mating strategies when choosing a mate. However, they also engage in short-term mating arrangements, so their mate choice preferences change depending on the function of the type of arrangement. Right. Short-term, bad boy, good-looking, fun. Long-term, the man that's willing to provide. They say short-term mating strategies. Women do not always seek out and engage in long-term mating arrangements. This is evidenced by factors such as the evolved male tendency to seek out multiple partners, a trait that could not have evolved if women were also not historically engaging in short-term arrangements, and by the tendency of some women to pursue affairs outside of their long-term couple pairings. David Buss outlines several hypotheses as to the function of women's short-term mate choices. resource hypothesis. Women may engage in short-term mating Women may engage in short-term mating in order to gain resources that they may not be able to gain from a long-term partner, or that a long-term partner may not be able to provide consistently. These resources may be food, protection for the woman and her children from aggressive men who may capture or coerce them, or status by providing the women with a higher social standing. Women may also benefit from having several short-term mating arrangements through paternity confusion. If the paternity of her offspring is not certain, she may be able to accrue resources from several men as a result of this uncertainty. Now, if you think about it, right now, paternity tests are not mandatory. There's no place where a paternity test is mandatory when a woman gives birth. Why not? It would be very easy. It's relatively inexpensive compared to a birth of a child, which can be very expensive. $100 or $200 DNA test would be relatively simple. So why hasn't this been made law? Because women don't want it to be. Women don't want the quote, potential father or the husband or whoever to be able to see if it is his child or not. It benefits women to have some confusion in this. Why? As they say here, number one, she may tell multiple men that the kid is theirs. And so multiple men may be accidentally, or at least accidentally on their part, but purposefully on her part, she may be able to get resources from all of them. Number two, this allows her, if she does have a long-term partner, to go out and get a short-term partner that may have the DNA or the looks or the masculine traits that she finds attractive. He may be the actual biological father, while she still can fool the paternal or the husband who thinks he's the paternal father, fool him into taking care of a kid that is not his. Again, this is not me saying this. This is from various studies. They say genetic benefit hypothesis. Women may choose to engage in short-term mating arrangements in order to aid conception if her long-term partner is infertile, to gain superior genes of those of her long-term partner, or to acquire different genes to those of her partner and increase the genetic diversity of her offspring, basically known as cheating. She'll go out, she's got a partner that will provide for her and is in a long-term relationship with her. However, that's not whose child she wants to have. She wants to go out and get superior genes of those of her long-term partner, or again, he's infertile. So she will go out and have some fun on the side, get pregnant by her boyfriend or whoever she was cheating with, and then bring that pregnancy back into the marriage without that man knowing, again, fooling him. They say this relates to what is known as the sexy son hypothesis. If a woman acquires genes from a high quality male, her offspring will likely have higher mate value, resulting in their increased reproductive success. Right. So in other words, if she's with a very good looking, successful, not successful as in financially, but if she's with a very good looking, successful with women man, well, she hopes her offspring will have those same advantages, so that's the genes that she wants. However, that doesn't mean her long-term partner, again, she will be with him for the benefit of the financial and taking care of her. They continue on, mate expulsion and mate switching. Women may engage in short-term mating arrangement in order to cause her long-term partner to end their relationship. In other words, to facilitate a breakup. Women may also use short-term mating if their current partner has depreciated in value and they wish to trade up and find a partner that they believe has higher value, or hypergamy. So this is just one of the areas that a woman will use. So if she says, I want to break up with him, but I don't know how, or I'm uncomfortable, or whatever, she may just decide to be with this other guy until the old partner finds out and he has to do the breaking up. In many cases, though, some of these guys that are kind of sad sacks or losers say, well, I will still stay with you and I will still provide for you and I still love you. Now she gets the benefit of both worlds. Now that guy we call a cuck, but many men who have very weak self-esteem will still stay in this relationship. And again, that only benefits her. They say short-term for long-term goals. Women may use short-term sexual relationships in order to assess a mate's value as a long-term partner, or in the hopes that a short-term arrangement will result in one that is long-term. What does this mean? This means women will use their sexuality and they will go out and sleep with men that are higher in value, hoping that he will select her as a partner. In other words, she's giving him this particular resource of hers, and she's hoping, hey, I'm going to find out if he's going to be a long-term partner, and in the hopes that the short-term arrangement will result in one that is long-term. And this is why so many women are going out there and sleeping with this top 5% of men, hoping that they will be able to convince him to be with her. Now, these men do not get convinced to stay, and so they end up going about their way. And this is the man that women say, all men are pigs, men are jerks, I slept with him, and he ditched me, this man is an awful person. She's not talking about the 80% or 90% of men that she doesn't even see that are invisible to her. So the 10% or 5% that they're chasing after sleeping with and trying to coerce to be with them, when those men aren't fooled or decide not to be with them, these women get very angry at them. But they were using their feminine wiles to try to win him. It just didn't work. And that's what they're upset about. Let's talk about long-term mating strategies. While there has been evidence and research to support the existence of short-term mating in women, there has nevertheless been shown that women prefer long-term partners over short-term mates. This preference is due to women's tendency to invest and require more energy for parental care. In long-term mating arrangements, women typically look for males who will provide a high level of parental investment and one who can provide resources to the woman or her offspring. The provision of economic resources or the potential to acquire many economic resources is the most obvious cue towards the ability of a man to provide resources, and women in the United States have been shown experimentally to rate the importance of a partner's financial status more highly than men do. However, many other traits exist that may act as cues towards a man's ability to provide resources that have been sexually selected for in women's evolution history. These include older age, older males have had more time to accrue resources, industriousness, dependability, and stability. If a woman's long-term partner is not emotionally stable or is not dependable, then their provision of resources to her and her offspring are likely to be inconsistent. Additionally, the costs associated with an emotionally unstable partner, such as jealousy and manipulation, may outweigh the benefits associated with the resources they are able to provide. All right, let's break that down a little bit. Number one, women want the most resources for their kid. So if they're with a good-looking, successful with the women, good-looking, tall, attractive man, and he impregnates her, now she has the genes, and she's able to go after him for resources. Next, she gets resources from the government, and she still has the best DNA available to her from the guy that she slept with. Third, she then wants to find a long-term partner that is going to be the provider for her. These are the single moms that are going out there saying, now it's no more fun, no more bedroom fun. I'm looking for long-term. I'm looking for commitment, and you should be too. And so they want to secure the provider. Now they lose the initial income from the first father in some cases, especially if she ends up getting married and he makes a higher percent of income, she may lose the previous income, but it doesn't matter because she's leveled up when it comes to getting additional income because she's now with a more financial stable man. So now she has the government helping, she has the first father helping, and now she has the new provider helping her out. She's getting multiple sources. Now, why do women now also find older men attractive? Because in older age, older males have had more time to accrue resources, industriousness, dependability, and stability, mental stability. That means that many times older guys are willing to settle with one partner versus going out and sowing their seeds, even if they were successful, because they're kind of done with their sowing their seeds and sleeping with lots of women and doing that because they've already been there. They know the game. And so they're more likely to settle down. They say women's mate choice is not as straightforward as selecting a mate that displays all of her desired qualities. Often potential mates will possess some qualities that are desirable and some that are not. So women must assess the relative costs and benefits of their potential partner's traits and trade-offs. Women's mating choices will also be constrained by the context in which they're making them, resulting in conditional mate choices. Some of the conditions that may influence female mate choices include the woman's own perceived attractiveness, the woman's personal resources, mate copying, and parasitic stress. All right, so what we know from this, again, is with the advent of birth control, women don't have to find all these qualities in just one man. They can be off birth control, be with a very attractive, tall, desirable man, one that has, again, wide shoulders, narrow waist, maybe a beard, maybe a lower voice, all the things that she wants, she can get off birth control and maybe get pregnant by this guy. Then she can go back on birth control and go out and continue to have fun with other men that are not the primary guy that she wants to have another kid with, but men that she still wants to hopefully convince to be her mate or her husband or her boyfriend or whatever. And she uses her willingness and to try to trap these guys. When that doesn't work, she will then look for ultimately a provider, one that will provide resources for her. Now, she may have a kid with him too, because there's additional resources, but now the way that divorce and government works, like I said, now then she can leave him. What changed all of this from being the best man, single man that a woman can get to any man that is meets her current criteria is birth control. And that's what's changed the game. And then when the government came out and helped, that changed it even more in their favor. And then when shaming went away, when instead of saying, oh, she's a single mom and she's made her mistakes, now it's cheered on. Now it is, hey, you go girl and live your best life. So now the social stigma from being a single mom is also gone. So now there is nothing that really tells women, hey, you probably shouldn't do this. They're cheered on. And so they do so. Now, let's talk about why this doesn't work for most of the women, and that is the male mating choice. Generally, it is unusual for males within a species to be the choosy sex. There are many reasons for this in humans following sexual reproduction. The female is obliged to endure a 9-month pregnancy and childbirth. This means that females naturally provide a greater parental investment to offspring than males. Human males have a larger quantity of gametes than females, which are replenished at a rate of approximately 12 million per hour. Conversely, female humans are born with a fixed amount of egg cells, which are not restocked over the lifespan. This provides males with a greater window of opportunity to mate and reproduce than females, hence females are usually more choosy. Despite not being the typically choosy gender, human males can be influenced by certain traits of females when making decisions about a potential mate. This is where men have the advantage. I, as a 48-year-old, now I've had a SNP, I've had a vasectomy, so I cannot have any kids. But from the age of probably 14 or 15, up until oftentimes in the 70s or 80s, I think Tony Randall and I think Mick Jagger both had children when they were in their 70s. So men have a 60-year window in which they're fertile and they can have children with a woman of any birthing age. Women traditionally are between the ages of puberty, which sometimes is as young as 11 or 12, all the way up through about late 30s, maybe very early 40s, if they're lucky. But after the age of 30s, it exponentially drops off with their ability. So really, you might be looking at 25 years for women, which is giving it a very long window, 25 years versus the 65 or 70 years of a man. So men do not have to be as choosy because they can be in their 40s or 50s or 60s and still find, if they find a young partner, they can still have kids. And again, with the advent of birth control, men are not punished by having many partners, especially the more popular or attractive men, because not every time does it equate a kid that they have to provide for. They can go out, and as long as they're careful or they've gotten a SNP or wear protection, they can go out and have as many partners as they want without the negative side effects of having to financially and physically protect their young. They say short-term mating strategies. When finding a short-term mate, males highly value women with sexual experience and physical attractiveness. Let's rate that again, right? Or let's read that again. Experience and physical attractiveness. So if a guy, even though he knows he's a catch, if she's basically, she's had other partners, she's easy to conquer, and she's relatively attractive, physical attractiveness, not just facial attractiveness, he may take the plunge and be in a short-term coupling with her. They say men seeking short-term relationships are likely to avoid women who are interested in commitment or require investment. So guys that are wanting only short term probably won't commit or be interested in women that only want commitment or will require investment. So when women say, well, I don't understand, like, he didn't stick around and we were together for a month or two and he said he was going to stick around and he said he was going to stay with me and he said he was going to be my boyfriend. But after we hooked up and we slept together for a couple of months, he bailed. Why? Because number one, you made yourself too easily available. Number two, the woman did not require commitment before sleeping with him. And number three, he had to put in no investment. So for guys that just want the hookup, she is the perfect, you know, capture, so to speak. That's why many times I say to women, secure the relationship and secure the investment before you secure the bedroom if you want to keep a guy sticking around for a while. They say examples of short-term mating strategies in males. Multiple partners or multiple bedroom partners. When looking for short-term relationships, men may wish for there to be as little time as possible between each partner. When engaging in sexual intercourse with multiple partners, it is important to be aware that the risk of contracting an STD may increase if contraception is not used. Physical attractiveness. Men who are interested in a short-term relationship are fun relationship are more likely to prioritize information about the body of potential partners rather than their faces. When finding a female for short-term relationship compared with long-term relationship, males are less likely to prioritize factors such as commitment. Okay, so now we have this trend where women are wearing outfits, they're going on OnlyFans, they're putting their bodies out there. There, if you go on Reddit, there are subreddits of women just taking pictures of themselves with no clothes on or very provocatively, and they're putting them out there, and guys are seeing this. Well, a guy will say, hey, it's a butterface. And if you haven't heard that expression before, a butterface means, wow, she's hot, butterface. In other words, she's very attractive, but her face is not as attractive as her body. Well, when men want short-term bedroom interactions, they really don't care about what she looks like in the face so long as her body is very attractive, because that's what they're going to be sleeping with, is they want to have a very proportionate, nicely figured woman to sleep with. But her face may not be what he would deem as suitable for long-term relationship. This is why average-looking women are able to put themselves out there and still get interest from men that are more attractive, because the guy isn't looking at them as a long-term partner. He's just interested in sleeping with her. And again, with contraception, he doesn't have to worry about having a kid. So he gets all the benefits of having what he finds a physically attractive woman to sleep with, but he has no intention of being with her long-term, whether it's her face or whether it's she's just her personality, isn't what he wants to be with. And again, the easier that he can conquest this woman and the more that he can conquest in a short period of time, the more interested he is. So players are going to play, and they specifically look for women that are easy to capture. Now, if these guys are good looking and popular, women are literally throwing themselves at this guy, so he doesn't need to even slow down. They say a relaxation of standards. It has been reported that men are more likely to engage in a sexual relationship with women who have lower levels of intelligence, independence, honesty, generosity, athleticism, responsibility, and cooperativeness when this relationship is short term. So again, she's not super smart. She's not super independent. She's not even super honest. She's not a very giving person. She's not even super athletic. And he doesn't have much responsibility and cooperativeness. In other words, she's not a great catch. She's the dimmer, easier woman of maybe what they might want to actually be with. So again, these women think that they're dating up and they're going to capture this great guy. He's literally specifically more likely to engage in just a physical relationship with women who are not as smart and who are kind of easy to fool. And so he has his way with them because he can lie to them or manipulate them or lie to them. And then he has his fun and he bounces. He's specifically looking for this type of women. But the women don't realize they're that woman. And so she again thinks that she is coaxing him to be with her because she's making herself physically available to him. Experience. Many men assume that women who have engaged in sexual experiences beforehand are likely to have a higher sex drive than women who haven't. These women may also be more accessible and require less courtship. In other words, if a guy thinks she's easy, because, again, she's putting herself out there in photos, or she sleeps with him very quickly and she doesn't demand he jump through a lot of hoops, well, then he actually assumes that she has a higher drive for the bedroom fun. And so he selects her for that specific reason, because he knows he's going to be able to sleep with her a lot because she has a high drive. But he doesn't want that in a long-term relationship, because his fear is she will get bored and go find somebody else with her high drive. So men specifically do not want to be with a woman that has had a lot of partners when it comes to long-term. But short-term, guys are fine with it, because they say, well, that maybe means she'll sleep with me easily and a lot, and that's what I'm looking for in a short-term. They say long-term mating strategies for men. Although from an evolutionary perspective, women are usually the choosier sex, if a human male has the desire to reproduce, he may seek certain qualities in a potential mate who could be the mother of his offspring. Humans have the ability to rely on biological signals of reproductive success and non-biological signals such as the female's willingness to marry. Unlike many animals, humans are not able to consciously display physical changes to their body when they are ready to mate. So they have to rely on other forms of communication before engaging in consensual relationship. What they mean by that is, like, a peacock may spread its feathers, other male birds, or may put on a display to attract the woman. Men can't do that. Men can't all of a sudden sprout hair, grow a thick beard, lower their voice, widen their shoulders, narrow their waist. Men can't do that. So they have to do it all the time, or men will change other ways that they communicate that they are desirable. They say commitment and marriage. A human male may be interested in mating with a female who seeks marriage. This is because he has exclusive sexual access to the female, so any offspring produced in the relationship will be genetically related to him, unless the female has intercourse with an outside or another male outside of the marriage. So again, a man, or commitment and marriage, a male may be interested in marriage when he wants to sire an offspring and he knows the offspring is his. The problem is, with so many women today, they talk about infidelity. They brag 50 or 60% of women have stated they've had an extramarital or cheated on a boyfriend with another guy. To men, this signals a very real risk that the child that she may eventually be carrying may not be his. And in some areas, it's even illegal to try to get a paternity test. And so men are not willing to engage in commitment and marriage if they think there is the possibility the child may not be theirs. This wasn't as big a problem decades ago. It wasn't nearly as big a problem, but it is a huge problem now, with 50 to 60% of women reporting that they've had extramarital or external relationship affairs. They say, this increases the likelihood of paternity certainty when you're married. When two married parents investing in the offspring, the chance of survival may increase. Therefore, the male's DNA will be passed on to the children of his offspring. Also, a male who is interested in committing to a female may be more attractive to potential mates. A male who can promise resources and future parental investment is likely to be more appealing to a woman than a male who is unwilling to commit to her. Now, this also goes for married men. There are studies out there that show that men walking around with a wedding ring get more attention from single women than they do if they're just single. Why? Because it shows that they are willing to commit to a woman. And so when single women see this, they, and oftentimes, will be more attracted to even a male that is already taken in a committed relationship, because it shows he is committed to a woman, than they would be to a man that is not. This is why women will sleep with and be attracted to married men. And oftentimes they want the married men to leave their spouse to choose them, not really seeing the irony that if he did that, he's not really showing that he's a good catch and that he would be committed to one woman, because he would be leaving a woman for a different woman. They go on to say femininity. A feminine face can be a signal of youth, which in turn signals strong reproductive value. As a woman gets older, her facial features become less feminine due to aging. Femininity can also be linked to disease resistance and high estrogen levels, which are factors that suggest reproductive value to a potential mate. Right, long term, men would like to date or marry someone that is younger, because even though they don't plan to necessarily have kids, that attractiveness from her being young and feminine is still with a guy throughout the years. They say physical beauty. observable characteristics of a woman can indicate good health and the ability to reproduce qualities which are likely to be desired by a male. This may include smooth skin, absence of lesions, muscle tone, long hair, and high energy levels. So, oftentimes, guys like myself, I've commented many times that I've dated women 10 to 20 years younger than me. Why? They're fun. The high energy levels. They have smooth skin. They don't have as much baggage, also is another thing, but they're beautiful. That's what men primarily care for in a woman, is her beauty, because they know that she will not be a provider for him. He has to be the provider. That's why successful, rich, old men have very young, attractive, beautiful girlfriends. It is a trade-off, but many men are willing to make this trade-off knowing they're going to be used for their resources, but they get access to her youth. Waist to hip ratio. A waist to hip ratio of 0.7 is an indicator of fertility, lower long-term health risks, and suggests that the woman isn't already pregnant. A male is likely to desire these qualities in a mate, as it will increase the chance of survival of any offspring the couple may have together. And again, this is lizard brain stuff. This isn't overt. Men don't walk around and take a ruler and measure her waist to hip ratio and all that. They just look at a woman and go, wow, I'm attracted to that. Well, this is the lizard brain stuff, and it, even if he doesn't want to procreate with her, that desire to still sleep with her is there. They talk about chest size. Women, men like chest size and firmness, because that is, I'm not going to read the whole paragraph because YouTube, but basically even the color of the skin of the areolas and perkiness and size all makes a difference. Youth. Both young and old men are attracted to women in their 20s, and this is just universal. It just is what it is. Faces that appear younger are usually rated as more attractive by males. This could include faces with clear skin and a lack of wrinkles, as well as whiter eyes and redder cheeks and lips. A female who appears younger is likely to be appealing to mates, as it suggests she has a higher reproductive value than alternative older females. As a woman passes her 20th birthday, her reproductive values decline steadily until the around the age of 50. So 20, pretty much 18 to 20 is the peak of feminine beauty. After that is it is a downhill climb, at least according to studies. This is why many women, when they are that 20, 21, 22 to say 23, 24, 25, anywhere around that range, they are at their peak beauty. They are never going to get more beautiful. They may age very gracefully and still stay beautiful for many years, but their peak beauty is right around 20. This is the time when women should traditionally be finding the best mate that they can get. But unfortunately today, because of, again, like I've talked about earlier, they will chase the good looking guys, get that DNA, get that fun, get that bedroom fun with those guys, and then forever be chasing the finances, the best financial suitor, and then also chasing the best man they can get without realizing that their value is decreasing. The longer they take to look, the less their odds are finding that good mate. All right, let's move on to Vivica Fox. Now, this is the science behind all of it. So again, a lot of that is lizard brain stuff. Women do not necessarily choose this, but it is what they do. So when we talk about hypergamy, some of it is just natural selection and some of it is choice. This from Vivica Fox. My mama didn't raise me to take care of a man. Vivica A. Fox says she left husband because he made less than her and she got tired of paying all the bills. Now again, she is, I don't know her age, but she is far older than 20. So her beauty is waning. And she thought she had gotten the best man she could get. However, she realized he wasn't going to be a good financial provider for her. And so she throws him away. Now, let me jump back to this, the graphic I was talking about earlier, about here. The two richest men on earth couldn't keep their wives happy. What do you have? These women are past their prime, but they've got the finances. They've got the resources. So now they don't need to worry about staying with the guy. Now they can go out and have fun, live their best lives, be free and wild, however wild they can be at their ages. But they've got the finances, and they've got the finances set for life. So when a woman can extract the finances, oftentimes she doesn't have a use for the man anymore, which is why, again, here Vivica Fox said, hey, he doesn't have any of the finances. I'm going to just toss him aside and move on. Here's the article. Vivica Fox says she didn't want to be the breadwinner, so she filed for divorce. In an interview with Vlad TV, actress Vivica Fox spoke candidly about her short-lived marriage to singer Christopher 6ix9ine Harvest. The two can play that game star admits she rushed down the aisle because everyone else was doing it. Further, she credits her failure to take the time to actually get to know him as the reason that the relationship did not survive. In other words, she says she didn't know enough about him. What does that mean? She didn't know that he wasn't going to be making as much money as her, and so she chose poorly. Also, she just wanted the pomp and circumstance of a wedding and felt that she was getting old and still wanted to have that wedding experience, even though it wasn't really with the right guy. She said, "I did. I hate to say that. Everyone was having their Cinderella day, and I just wanted one, too, to be very honest with you. Why the marriage didn't last a long time is because I didn't take the time to get to know him. I felt peer pressure," said Fox. "I had my Cinderella day, but I honestly should have just taken the time to get to know him a little bit better." So she wanted the wedding day. She wanted the guy with the resources. She didn't actually want the man. And when she realized the resources weren't going to be coming from this guy, she didn't want the marriage anymore. Notice again, a woman filing for the divorce against the man. 80 to 90% of the time, women are now filing. When the marriage only lasted about 3 years, Fox admits that it taught her a valuable lesson. Get to know your partner before going public. "I have no ill will against him. I just didn't know him, and that's why the relationship didn't last." So instead of getting to know him, she just threw him away. In addition to not knowing her husband well, Fox says that she got tired of being the breadwinner in the family after Harvest's record deal fell apart. She said that he did not pursue new opportunities in the way that she would have. This is hypergamy, literally wanting to marry up. She did, but since he wasn't above her anymore, his record deal fell through. Now he doesn't have as much value to her. She throws him away. "He didn't go out and then pursue things with the same drive that I had for my career. You know, a woman doesn't like paying all the bills all the time. I can only ask for help so many times before I had to come to the conclusion that I didn't want to be the breadwinner in this family. My mother didn't raise me to take care of a man, and that was the deciding factor." Fox and Harvest tied the knot in 1998 during an elaborate and star-studded ceremony. In 2002, she filed for divorce in L.A., and by the end of the year, the split was finalized. So there it is. He didn't pan out to be the high social status and well-earning man that she wanted, or at least higher than her. So instead of getting to know him, instead of helping him maybe realize his potential, instead of supporting him, she just threw him away. Here's another story I want to read for you. This is from, and this was a link, Erica Mena. And I don't know who these people are, but I wanted to read it because, again, they're stars of something, but it proves my point to a T. Erica Mena files for divorce from Safari after less than 2 years of marriage. So again, woman filing against a man. She says here, "Looks like Erica Mena is ready to move on from her marriage to Safari Samuels. According to TMZ, in less than 2 years of matrimony, a child together, and one on the way, Erica Mena has filed for divorce. Now, in 2 years, they were married for 2 years, and they have two kids together. Now, why did she get another child on the way and is filing for divorce? Well, I mean, looking at this guy, he's tall. He's not bad-looking guy. So she gets the DNA. She gets the child support. She gets his resources, and she can throw him away. Mena filed for divorce, again, the woman, filed for divorce last week in Fayetteville County Superior Court in Georgia. The couple also got married there and currently live there now. In the documents, Erica is requesting primary physical custody of their one-year-old daughter, Sapphire, but is willing to share joint legal custody. So she wants primary physical custody, but joint legal custody. Why does she want primary physical custody? Child support. Resources from the man. So she went with him, she got married, she got pregnant, she got the two kids, she gets the resources, and then she dumps the guy. She wins in all cases. The guy loses. He loses child support, he loses his children, he loses the woman that he married. What is he left with? A bill and a little bit of legal custody. She's requesting child support and would like to obtain the rights to the home they both currently share. She wants the cash and prizes. As sad as this news is for the couple's children, I doubt any of us are surprised by this. The writing has been on the wall. Safari has claimed that getting married was the biggest mistake of his life, resented Erica for gaining too much weight during her first pregnancy, and all types of things. When the couple announced they were having a second child, the good people of the internet were shocked given all that they publicly displayed about their dysfunctional union. Erica didn't like that people called her marriage toxic, but apparently she might have sympathized with those comments because less than a month later she's calling it quits. So, even though she knew things were bad, she still went ahead and got pregnant again. Why? Because again, more resources for her, and again, this is not a bad-looking guy. So she gets a tall, good-looking man's DNA. She gets his kids. She gets the child support. She gets the custody. She wins 100%. This is the new normal. That it's not frowned upon. A short 2-year marriage, just enough to get pregnant and ask for custody. And when I talked about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie the other day, she wants the custody of the kids, and she was upset that they got joint custody. Why? Because she doesn't get everything. She doesn't get the money and the kids and Brad Pitt and his DNA and whatever else. She's upset that she didn't win in all cases. Now let's talk about Jay Cutler. The reason why I'm jumping to this, Jay Cutler reportedly wants half of Kristen Cavallari's brand in divorce. You see, when a woman marries a man, whatever that they established together in the marriage is theirs. And so if a man starts a business and the woman bails, she will say, I want half the business because he created it while we were together and I supported him while he created this business. So I deserve half. And oftentimes the courts will support that. However, Jay Cutler, he wants half of Kristen Cavallari's brand that they created during the divorce. She says, but it's not fair. See, when the woman can win, it's fair to get half of whatever he created. But when she leaves and he wants half, it's not fair of whatever they created while they were together. They say Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler's divorce has reportedly hit a roadblock. The former NFL quarterback, 38, is said to be seeking half ownership of Cavallari's lifestyle company, Uncommon James, TMZ reported Saturday, citing sources as the brand was launched during their marriage. Cavallari, 34, meanwhile, is said to believe she doesn't owe any part of Uncommon James to Cutler, alleging that she funded the business, which sells jewelry, clothing, and home goods. Well, whether you funded it or not, you were together at the time. When founder Bill Gates was creating, or after he created Microsoft, he did create other things during his marriage with his wife. He, from Microsoft, did fund them. However, she got access to half of that. You know, so it's same thing with Jeff Bezos. I mean, he created other projects other than Amazon. I know he bought, I think, the Washington Post and things like that. That came from his Amazon money. But when she split, she got half of all the things he created while they're married. But here, because it's a man wanting to get half of what was created during the marriage, she says it's not fair. They don't have any results of this yet, but she's fighting it. And that's my point. And this is from Daily Mail from Monday, May 31st of 2021, so just about a week ago. High-flying career women are refusing to marry down despite struggling to find Mr. Right with similar earning power and intelligence. Career women are struggling to meet men with similar levels of education. A generation of high-flying women cannot find eligible men that can marry. This is down to men's lack of degrees and high incomes, a U.S. study claims. Women wanted equality. They wanted graduation rates. They wanted higher income. They got it. But now they can't find enough men to marry, and they're going to blame it on the men that they replaced in the workforce. You see, when a woman gets a job, she's replacing a man that might have had that job. And so when she takes it, a man doesn't get that job. And then she complains that no man is equal or better than her to marry. She doesn't want to marry down. That's hypergamy. And in the meantime, she's the one that took the job from the man. So the more jobs that they take and the higher the income the women earn, they're upset that the men aren't out-earning them still. And who do they blame it on? Men not getting high enough degrees and getting high enough earning jobs. Instead of saying, hey, women, you're being unreasonable and you filled the shoes of the men that you eventually would have liked to have married. Because I'm running so long, I'm going to leave a link to this article, but Susan Venker has a really good write-up about women marrying and dating down, and that They say here, let me just quickly read this quote. Though we don't hear much about it, hypergamy, the preference of most women to marry up, is still alive and well. As America's single men can attest, women have always preferred to marry men of a higher rank or men who make more money or have the capacity to make more money due to their career choices. Hypergamy doesn't exist because women are greedy. Well, some are, I suppose, but that's a side issue. It exists because pregnancy, childbirth, and the needs of babies invariably make women vulnerable. It is well documented that most women leave the workforce for a period of time after they have children and thus need a husband on whom they can rely on for a period of time. If a woman has married, quote, down, she will be less likely to have this as an option. It's a predicament that can, and often does, foster resentment. At the very least, it creates financial strain that can weaken the marriage. Another problem with women marrying down is that the sociological data on divorce rates among this group are grim. One reason that at some point women date down the line, many of these wives lose respect or become dissatisfied with their low-achieving husbands. This is either because the two didn't share the same drive or because the man's inability to earn enough money puts undue pressure on the wife to produce. Now, could the man actually produce enough? Yes, but not enough to satisfy the woman because she has a higher standard because of the money that the two of them used to bring in together. I'll leave this article down below if you'd like to read into it. All right, let me jump on here to the dating profile of the day. I think this one is satire. I think this one is satire. The reason why you'll hear in a moment, but it's the idea that the fact that she's saying this thing, even if she's trying to be funny, just shows her true intentions. They say half of all jokes are truth. She says she's 19. She says gingers only please, or gingers please. I probably don't like you. I'm offensive and creative like a handicapped. I'm offensive and creative like handicapped adult spicy movies. I have pale skin, freckles, sassy, 5'5". Chance is the only game I play with, baby. Recently divorced. Again, she says she's 19. 6 kids, but she's 19, which means she's having kids probably at 12. That's why I think this is satire. Crazy ex-husband, currently fighting for custody of the dog. Took all the mother effer's money. That's the line that really makes me wonder if she's joking or not. Took all of his money. Now, even if she is joking, it's still in her head that she thinks the plan is to someday take all of the guy's money. She says, gratatata swag, B. Don't take me seriously. Okay, so maybe she is joking about this. Maybe she's trying to show she has a sense of humor. Nonetheless, this is not a very heartwarming and enticing dating profile if you're a normal guy, especially when she's basically saying, hey, I plan on getting divorced. I plan to take the custody of the kids and the dog, and I plan to take all of his money. So she's basically just saying what I've been saying, that they have a plan in mind of I'm going to be with a good looking guy. I'm going to have his kids. Then I'm going to marry another dude. I'm going to take all his money and then I'm going to move on in life. That's where we are. I know I'm kind of winding things down quickly here, but an hour is about as long as I like to go on these videos. But there was a lot of science and a lot of data in here. I hope you stayed with me. I know it's a little dry, but there is science behind hypergamy. There is science behind what women are doing today. And to argue with that and say somehow you're going to beat society and laws and what women have ingrained in them and somehow come out the winner, it's just not true. It's just against you. So guys, keep that in mind when it comes to your future of long-term relationships. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below as always. If you have, thank you very much. And the best way to support me is like, comment, share, subscribe, and I'll leave it there. This is Better Bachelor. I'm Joker. Remember, women do what they do for a reason. They know that they can beat the system. They know they can win. They can chase their desires, and they don't get punished for it anymore. You're the one that's going to get punished if you play the game. The only way to stay safe, short-term date, don't get yourself in any trouble, and don't marry, don't cohabitate, don't get in long-term relationships, and don't get suckered. That's the only way you can play the game anymore. That or just stay single.